I mean, I'd rather get my teeth dragged along the cement than watch that show.
I'll make you a bet.
Okay.
I'll bet Secret Life of Pets 2 is more enjoyable than Godzilla. No, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was a crap movie.
What, Godzilla?
Oh, crap, we need a story. Find a second grader to write us a plot. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Okay. Andy, I think everything you need to know about dating, you can learn from watching episodes of Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I got asked, I'll say asked, but really more like begged to come on here.
Can you please get to the spoiler? I want to know so bad.
I've fallen in love, and then they start talking. I'm like, oh no, never mind. What was I thinking?
Okay, welcome to TWIM with Seth, Andy, and Ben. We're two brothers and a cousin to discuss all the movies in wide release. This week, we're going to first talk about movies coming out this week, which include Dark Phoenix, The Secret Life of Pets, and Late Night. And then we're going to do reviews of movies that entered the top 10 last weekend, including Godzilla, Rocket Man, and Ma.
Okay, Seth and Ben, what of these three do you have to see?
Well, I was just wondering...
Last week's or this week's?
Which is the biggest pile of garbage we just watched?
No, that's what I mean, though. Out of those three you just named that are coming up this week, which one do you have to see?
I think Dark Phoenix.
Totally. 100%.
I'm more excited about Secret Life of Pets.
Really? Because you're a Bolt fan. Because you love Bolt.
Well, maybe. The Dark Phoenix preview, it just isn't doing it for me.
Really?
Really?
I have superhero fatigue, but this one gets me excited because she's the Game of Thrones power. I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah, but
Sansa Stark?
It's the Hulk premise. Like, you won't like me when I'm angry. I just
The Hulk. Yeah.
It just didn't do it for me.
She takes down Magneto in the previews.
Well,
which is kind of weird because Magneto seemed like all powerful, but she rips him apart in the previews.
Why don't you continue? I kind of jumped in there, Seth. You were going to start talking about him, and
not really. No, that was a good, like, that's kind of what I wanted to discuss anyway, but.
Which is the one you don't want to see?
I don't want to see The Secret Life of Pets if I'm going to skip one.
That's funny.
The trailer did look pretty funny. I was giggling through the trailer, how he's the veterinarian, and the cat's like, oh, what did that cat say? Like,
the cat brings the owner a pet, like a dead mouse or something, and is getting frustrated that the owner isn't loving the gifts.
Yeah, the cat's like, oh, this veterinarian's really good with behavioral issues. Not for me, it's my person that I'm here for. Yeah, so, okay, let me play a clip from the trailer for Dark Phoenix.
Why did you make me do that?
Look at me. Focus on my voice. I'm not giving up on you, Jean.
She was my friend.
You're my family, Jean.
Stop.
No matter what.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Dark Phoenix, starring Sansa Stark.
That's funny. That's like her name now.
Yeah, it's Sophie Turner. You know what's funny is she. I was watching on HBO. She had a preview of Dark Phoenix, and she said, "Hi, I'm Sansa Stark, aka Sophie Turner."
Hi everyone. I am Sansa Stark, aka Sophie Turner, and I'm here to talk about my new upcoming film, Dark Phoenix, here on HBO's The Interview.
And I'm like, wait, isn't that a backwards way to introduce yourself?
Yeah.
But that's probably the way she's used to it, because most people are like, hey, Sansa Stark, like, because they, you know, they don't know her name, they just know her character's name from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
We don't get that chance to see someone evolve from a young adult. We saw it in Harry Potter, like them go from like 12 to like adulthood. And I think that it's easy to fall in love with characters like that when you see them for so long progress.
Dark Phoenix is not yet rated on Rotten Tomatoes. I guess it wasn't pre-screened.
That's a red flag.
Okay, let me play it. Yeah, it is. I think that's strategic. If it's getting bad, if they think it's going to get bad reviews, they don't pre-screen it. That's what I've noticed. Okay, let me play a clip from the trailer for Late Night.
Who are you?
I'm a new writer?
The new female writer.
Yeah, I can see that, Brad.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Late Night. This stars Mindy Kaling from The Office and from The Mindy Project, and Emma Thompson, who I know as Nanny McPhee. Nanny McPhee.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't? That's a good kid movie. Kids love that one.
I have Mindy fatigue, to be totally honest, so I'm not excited.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like this is going to be, I think it'll have a few laughs, but I feel like I'm going to walk out of the theater thinking, yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's happened a lot this year, a lot of comedies. But
yeah,
I did like in the preview, they they show Emma Thompson doing this gag on her talk show, White Savior, which was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Like, giving people things they don't want or need.
Yeah.
And she's like, patting herself on her back.
She's like, yeah, that's too bad, because that's the way White Savior works. You're getting in the taxi now.
She is. Okay. She's definitely talented. I've just seen her so much, maybe.
Yeah. And she's kind of one note. Like, she plays the same kind of, like, personality, I feel like, in all her shows. I'm talking about Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I think her Mindy Project TV show, it didn't really do it for me. So that's why I'm not as hopeful for this movie.
Well, Late Night is 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's a pretty good score. Certified fresh.
Hey, before I forget, have you guys ever seen that cartoon with a grandpa who's drunk all the time? And
he, bad grandpa?
He like
no, a cartoon?
Yeah, he takes his...
Oh, Rick and Morty.
Yes, I love it!
Yes, I love Rick and Morty. Yeah.
My brother forced me to watch an episode last night. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, that's a show I have to watch after Karen falls asleep because there's so much cussing in it.
Yeah, it's so funny.
But it is really, really good. It's... Ben, I'm surprised you haven't seen that. That's probably
no, I've
best...
never seen it.
Okay, it's an Adult Swim style. It probably is Adult Swim, isn't it?
Probably.
I don't know. It's really, really...
If you watch it, Ben, you will laugh your head off. There's this one part where he's turned into like this young high
Pickle.
School guy.
Oh, yeah. And Little Rick.
He gets addicted to being Little Rick, and he doesn't want to go back to his body that's in the incubator. And so
Ben, you've got to watch that.
He's rebelling, and they put on this. They tackle him and put on earphones, and it's Elliot Smith. Drink up, baby. Look at the stars. Uh-huh. And he starts crying. Why did this guy have to die so young? Anyway, you got to watch it.
Is that you had to be there?
Yeah, you too.
There's one episode where he turns himself into a pickle, and he's like Pickle Rick. He just does it because he gets bored. He's like the smartest man in the universe. And
he's always drinking and slobbering out. Yeah.
So that was written by Dan Harmon. At least he's one of the writers. And he was one of the writers for Community. That TV show, as dumb as it is and as a cartoon, it has a lot of layers to it.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot to, like, analyze.
Like the one where they do the play on Inception and they keep going into dreams of the math teacher. Dreams of like Freddy who's the guy with the blades for knives?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Ben, you just got to see it and come report next week.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. And that is Late Night. It's currently 78% on Rotten. I guess I said that. Okay. The next movie out this week in wide release is The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Francis is the best veterinarian in the business. You're going to love him. He specializes in behavioral disorders.
But I don't have a behavioral disorder.
I'm fine too. It's my human that's nuts. I mean, you know, I bring her a dead bird, she throws it out. I bring her a dead mouse right in the garbage. It's nothing I do good enough for you, mother!
Okay.
I just played a clip from the trailer for The Secret Life of Pets 2. It's currently 63% on Rotten Tomatoes. Ben is excited to see it.
Moving on to the next movies for next week.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, enough said.
Okay, and so let's talk about movies that came out in wide release.
I mean, I'd rather get my teeth dragged along the cement than watch that show.
Well, I mean, it'll probably be fun. The audience score is 94%, so audiences are liking it.
It would probably be fun if you're like sitting in a car in repair office and waiting for your car to be fixed
or
something. Well,
Andy, I'll make you a bet.
Okay.
I'll bet Secret Life of Pets 2 is more enjoyable than Godzilla.
Ah. But this was... And Godzilla, the one... what is it? Monster... I'm trying to think of the name of it. That is a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you hated it.
No, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was a crap movie.
What, Godzilla?
Yeah.
You didn't hate it. You just thought it was crap. And crap is sometimes chocolate flavored. You eat it with whipped cream. It's not like bad crap. It's the kind you would eat if... Yeah. Okay, let me play a clip from the trailer for Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I just played a clip from the trailer for Godzilla, King of the Monsters. It's currently 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. It came in number one over the weekend, earning $47 million. That's a huge opening, by the way.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Ben. Tell us why you think it's crap.
So, So there, I guess there are lots of different ways you can judge a movie, but this movie felt like, it felt like there was some master cinematography genius who did all of the filming, all of the atmosphere. You could take almost any like screenshot from the movie and it's almost good enough to like hang on your wall. Like it was like beautiful.
Godzilla was like constantly posing for the camera, wasn't it?
It was abstract art with no narrative.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Cause every scene was like, had this really cool mood and vibe to it. Like the way the light would move and the background colors would change. Like the cinematography was masterful. So it's like they had some master genius do that. Then they're like, oh crap, we need a story. Find a second grader to write us a plot. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah. It was, so it was like the spectacle was an A+. The plot was like a D.
Yeah. Didn't you guys feel like that really watching it? I was shaking my head so many times. Like, that was so stupid. Why would they do that? Why would the character say that? Why would they do that?
It would have been a good master thesis for an art student as an art project if they had just left out all the characters and the story.
Well, it could be the human characters. This movie could be saved if they just dubbed over all the dialogue with dialogue that was better.
With like some dead language, like Navajo.
No, not that. But the dialogue was... The situations they put themselves in and the things they said, it was so dumb.
You mean the human characters, right?
Yes.
Obviously. So this was actually my introduction to Godzilla. Like I didn't see the original one. And I wasn't familiar with King Ghidorah and Mothra. I mean, I didn't know anything. I was watching this movie and seeing how they powered up Godzilla with nuclear bombs. And I was like, wait,
that was so
is Godzilla like a metaphor for nuclear attack? And that's why it came out of Japan in 1950.
Oh.
And of course I look on Wikipedia and that's like, obviously it's a metaphor for,
okay. That still doesn't explain how dumb it was.
No, I mean, I'm just talking about Godzilla generically, not necessarily this movie.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But there was, because there was a scene where they basically stick a nuclear bomb up Godzilla's butt and it gives them these. Okay, so
dumb.
So, Ben, I was talking about how this is like Dragon Ball Z Super Broly.
Yeah.
That's how, okay, remember we saw Dragon Ball Z and we didn't see it together, but I remember walking out of the theater, like that was so pointless. They just like, they're both indestructible and they're just throwing punches at each other for an hour straight and decimating mountains and stuff. That was kind of the similar plot in Godzilla. It was just like these two indestructible monsters are just fighting each other.
But they weren't... Okay, sorry, continue.
And Godzilla even does one of the Dragon Ball Z moves, which is called a Saiyan, I think, where they just, like, they pop into this energy blast and their hair turns blonde. And Godzilla does that, and I'm like, wait, this is just so similar. The final fight scene is over an hour long, just like Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z was
orders of magnitude worse, but there were some parallels in, like you're pointing out, for sure.
Yeah, so I did think the redeeming, like this was a great summer popcorn flick. That's what it was. It was cool to see Godzilla ramping up with that, like his like, I don't know, those blades on his back would kind of light up and they'd shoot out these nuclear
that was
blasts.
Cool.
And then King Ghidorah would, there was a scene where he's, that monster's on the volcano and he bites into like a lightning, into a electrical circuit and gets
like
all charged
plant.
Up with electricity. Yeah. And then
that
spreads
was cool.
his wings and there's light. Yeah. So very, very cool visuals.
That was really cool to show how they got their energy and their power. Yeah. Cause he was feeding off the electrical grid and then he could do some super blast.
And that's something Godzilla didn't happen. You know, that's something Godzilla didn't have 30 years ago when it was just like a man in a rubber suit. You know,
right.
In like a mini Tokyo Rampage.
Yeah, kicking around a little tiny city.
Did you?
So I thought the addition of like lights and nuclear and electricity was really cool. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I read somewhere that Godzilla was only in the film for 8 minutes and there was just too much like blah blah from like the human characters. Did you feel that?
That must have been the first one, the 2014 version, because this one seemed to have more Godzilla.
Okay.
Yeah, it had to be more than 8 minutes.
Okay.
But he didn't show up for a while in the movie.
Okay. I must have read one for the
so
first one.
So I'm trying to understand, like, this movie's kind of, it's, the narrative is a mess. But so Godzilla, his counterpart is that, what's his name again? I don't know, some other stupid monster who like...
King Ghidorah? You mean like the villain
yeah.
monster? Yeah, the monster plot was fine. I thought the human plot was dumb.
So, all right. So Godzilla and this three-headed dragon, they're rivals and they're mm-hmm. battling it out. And, you know, whatever, they battle it out, whatever. So
yeah, for the alpha position, right? Because like the other monsters were going to follow.
Right. So you're like, okay, that's cool. They're battling it out. So as if they bite each other, punch each other, like how much impact is that on their body? And then later you find out, oh, Godzilla gets his energy from nuclear radiation. And if you set a nuclear bomb off next to him, that makes him stronger.
Yeah.
So if an A-bomb isn't going to hurt him, it makes him stronger. They're having a punching war and that hurts him. Like I don't understand. And then towards the end, they're like, oh, 12 minutes, he's going to blow. Like, okay, now he's an atom bomb himself. Like, and they're counting down until the minutes till he blows. I thought it was so stupid.
This was all based on science. This is
yeah.
This is indisputable science. The science in this was so wacko. It was like,
well, it was interesting. Yeah. It was like some future science where they can pick up some little thing and can scan the whole world in an instant.
Yeah.
Like, okay, some superior technology.
Did you feel the Thanos connection? Because I read about the Thanos connection, and I'm curious.
Really?
What did it say?
Now I'm a little nervous that I read the first review. But wasn't the plot to kill part of the cleanse the world?
Oh, yeah. So the mom was like turned into an eco-terrorist.
Yeah, and she was
And she's like, we got to get rid of humans because the world can't take it. And releasing these monsters is going to cleanse the world.
And bring balance to the Force.
So
yeah, so it was kind of like a Thanos. Because that was kind of how Thanos was. Like,
yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that was lost on me. I did not pick up on that.
I've been studying all day in Yellowstone.
Well, the movie, so there was the science aspect where they had this superior technology and they didn't have to explain it, but it was clear it was superior and it could do these extraordinary things. But I also found the editing was confusing because throughout the movie, I'm like, oh, they're in an airplane. Oh, wait, they're in a submarine now? Like, wait, how did they get to the South Pole? Like, wait, where are they? You know, they were all over the place. So you had that going on. Meanwhile, it's just beautiful to look at. The cinematography was amazing, but Godzilla always knew when the cameras were on him because he'd do kind of a flex and a like, rawr. Yeah, it's weird. Right. Godzilla always knew when the camera was looking at him to do that.
He was posing a lot, yeah.
And then they have they have that, I guess it's an airplane that's as big as like a cruise ship. And they're, so that whatever Titan wakes up out of the volcano, they're like, hey, let's fly this big old thing right up next to that flaming dragon. Let's just get right next to him. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I felt like it would have been cool to drop the human storyline and just focus on the monsters. The humans were kind of wasted on this, really. I mean, Tywin Lannister was supposedly like a villain, but he, you know, I mean, really, does it matter if he's there when there's this like electricity breathing three-headed dragon monster that's like trying to destroy the world?
Do we care about the plot? Just, it did not land. It's seriously like a second grader wrote it, and the visuals were awesome. They had awesome, they had an awesome cast,
mm-hmm.
but
they were wasted.
How was that story so clunky?
Yeah, if it would have just been a battle for the alpha position with these two monsters and they cut out all the human parts completely, it would have been like a 45-minute movie. It would have been awesome. It would have been so cool.
It's interesting. I've been thinking about you guys talking about this, and I'm just fascinated by the difference between films and movies and TV shows, because if you think about it, like, we only see the good TV shows because they get re-signed, and every once in a while there'll be one cult following of one season that didn't get renewed. But I feel like movies are your chance to like take a shot and see if you can make it. And I think it's just interesting to see that as we've been going through. Poor guy, if that was his shot and he doesn't get another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They dropped the ball. And this is the kind of movie where the preview can just be amazing. Because visually, this was just stunning. The entire time, I was blown away by the cinematography and the lighting and the atmosphere. It was amazing. And then the characters talk, you're like, what? Like, that was so dumb.
Ben, do you think it would have been better, like, as like more of an art piece where there wasn't talking and, you know, it came...
No, it was just bad writing. It was bad writing, bad editing. And then they did this thing. It was funny. Before the movie, my wife was reading me, somebody posted this thing on Facebook. They're talking about like, oh, I prepared this food and I did this routine and it sends it good vibrations. And then I sent the other vibrations, talking about the vibrations. And that's kind of what do you even call that? It's like a belief about sending good vibrations.
Hocus pocus.
But that was that was an element in this movie. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, talking about vibrations, as in like good or bad vibrations, it's both meaningful and meaningless at the same time. But the vibrations that was a key element of this movie. They had that laptop thing that would send out certain vibrations.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So because we just talked about that. Then in the movie, they were, oh, it's the vibrations. I'm like, oh, duh. Like, here we go. Like, this is so dumb.
Okay. That was Godzilla King of Monsters. Rocket Man came in at number 3 over the weekend. Rocket Man is currently 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dad is a fat boy from nowhere. Get to be a soul man.
You gotta kill the person you were born to be in order to become the person you wanna be.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Elton.
But that's my name.
Yeah, I know.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Rocket Man. This is, I was gonna say a biopic, but after seeing the movie, it feels more like a fantasy musical of Elton John's life. It made $25 million over the weekend.
I really enjoyed it, but I did not realize it was going to be a Disney-style musical. And so I was surprised by that in a bad way, and I was annoyed at first, but I ended up really enjoying it. But the preview didn't, there were hints in the preview, but it didn't, I missed it. I didn't catch that it would be a musical.
It was artfully done. When we left the theater, Karen was looking up information about the people that were portrayed in the movie, like Rob Stark, who looked like a giant a-hole.
Right.
But apparently that's not historically accurate. He represented Elton John as his manager for 35 years, and they ended their relationship on good terms, even though they were lovers for something like 5 years. So it was kind of hard to know what was true and what was not true, what was just Elton John's perspective, because Elton John was a producer on this. I was going to say very informing, but I'm not, you know, part of the problem is you don't know what's accurate and what's not, but it was fun to watch. I mean, it's fun to get a taste of Elton John coming. There was a scene, Andy, that I thought was kind of ironic, because you always talk about how British people are the best musicians and best actors, and Jesus is from Britain.
Yeah, obviously.
There's a scene where Elton John is kind of like not really gotten momentum yet, and he's doing his first big show at this American location. I can't remember the name of the place. And he gets so intimidated because there's all these American legends there, like the Beach Boys and Neil Young, I think.
Yeah.
Does that sound right, Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought it was ironic because, you know, I don't know. You think of musicians like the Beatles, or who are, you know, all these English names.
Yeah.
He was intimidated.
He had respect for the American brand.
So there's a couple themes I thought were very interesting. Elton John as a public figure, but also a closeted gay man, and his kind of struggle with how to handle that was definitely very interesting.
Yeah.
He's not closeted anymore, but I don't know when he came out or what kind of... I know he met his partner that he's with now in 1995 or something, and his husband.
That whole theme of like his parents not accepting him, it seemed like his parents hated him. His dad was... Like they portrayed his parents as like the worst people ever. And that was just really sad to not be accepted and he didn't feel loved or accepted.
Yes. Yeah. And that theme carried through. Like he talked a lot about how his dad never even gave him a hug. And like they weren't the worst parents. Like he was not physically abused, for example. He had food and clothing and shelter and everything. But they were, it seems like they were kind of cold and rude. Right. And that theme carried through to this manager played by Rob, that actor who...
Rob Stark?
I was going to say Rob Stark. his name is Richard Madden. So Richard Madden looked, by the time the movie's over, he looked like he was maybe kind of a weaselly slime ball too, just taking advantage of Elton John. And manipulating him with sex in order to, you know, take advantage of him, become his manager, collect 20%. And kind of the way his parents maybe had, in a way.
It sounds like one of those things where you marry your abusive parents.
Yeah.
Maybe. I did appreciate that they didn't try to glamorize his whole life and whitewash the whole thing. Because it started out at the bottom. And he just, it didn't seem like he was trying to paint himself as this perfect person. It was, I expected different. Because the complaints about the Queen movie was that they wanted more of a puff piece instead of a real history. And I don't know what the real history is, but this, it, you know, he wasn't polishing, you know, his history. It was just, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, his character arc in the movie seemed to be overcoming his various addictions. And I did feel like the main message of the movie was that fame and fortune don't bring happiness. Because you could see him, see how extremely lonely he was at the height of his fame and fortune. And obviously depressed, he attempts suicide. Or maybe it was more like a cry for help because it was like a public suicide. But either way, obviously very depressed and obvious that his fame and fortune was not bringing him happiness. He seemed extremely lonely and kind of betrayed. Like the guy that did the lyrics, played by Jamie Bell, Bernie Taupin. It looks like Elton John kind of fell in love with him, but during, you know, in the scene they show, Elton John tries to kiss him and Bernie Taupin, he was very sensitive, like, hey, I love you. I'll always love you, but not in that way.
Yeah.
But then you see all these scenes where this character, Bernie, is just like with all these ladies. He's totally getting all these hot women all the time. And
yeah, they focused a lot on that. I thought it was weird.
Well, it looked like Elton John was kind of jealous, you know? He would kind of look at him and show some resentment.
Oh, so like, maybe that was this was Elton John's perspective in jealousy. Yeah, that makes sense. Because it was emphasized. Yeah.
Because it was kind of the same. It was kind of the same relationship he had with his parents. Like his dad would never hug him. Then his dad left, you know, and started a new family. And then his writer, he fell in love with him, but that guy was straight, and he was, you know, getting on with all these ladies, and so he kind of felt resentful and I was going to say rebuffed. What is it when somebody doesn't like return your love?
I think
that's
it.
Like rejected. And then the same thing kind of happens in more of a slimy way with John Reed, played by Richard Madden, Rob Stark, who comes in as though they're lovers, but it almost portrays it as though this was all scheming to become his manager and collect 20%, just take advantage of him.
Right.
And he just seems really lonely, never had a real connection with anybody except for the Bernie character, but Bernie was straight, so it was like not real
yeah,
love.
But it's interesting how Bernie, well, at least according to the movie, turned out to be this great guy who's always on his side and always had his back and always cared.
Yeah.
And did you know that Bernie wrote all of the lyrics? Were you aware
of
any
of that
this?
Clear in the No, I didn't know before seeing this movie. I had no idea.
Yeah, they portrayed Elton John as if he could just hear like a song once and instantly memorize it and he could play it back. And it's funny, like Bernie would write he'd send him sheets of paper with poems or lyrics. And I got the impression that Elton John he'd like read the first line and already have a tune and just like play the whole song perfectly instantly. Like he just needed lyrics to unleash this beautiful song.
What? Yeah. I wonder how accurate, I'm sure he was slaving away at different tunes and stuff. I don't think it was as easy.
Yeah. Cause you've written music and I don't think it would just flow out so perfectly on the first try.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely not. At least for me, but I'm not Elton John, so.
I'm kind of interested in that idea of loneliness, and I know that, like, I was an art major. I taught college art as an adjunct professor, and I remember having this young student, not young student, but he wanted to be friends with me, and we would go play basketball, and then after several years of being friends, he asked me if he could move in, and I was like, thinking about it. And then he's like, but I have to tell you something. He's like, I'm gay. And it was just a lot to ask in one. And then every experience we'd had together, I was like, oh my gosh, his parents probably thought I was gay. I'm the artist, the single 37-year-old artist.
Oh, did he think you were gay?
I don't know. It's happened to me so many times. Like,
yeah, Andy, I've noticed you get really nervous around other men that are like social because you
and
think
hot.
They might be hitting on you. and that's something that I'm never around somebody worried that they're hitting on me, but because probably just doesn't happen to me the way it happens to you.
Ben, you remember in Virginia?
Yeah, Seth, I was telling Andy, I totally got hit on by some guys. I was telling Andy.
At the gay bar you wandered into? You told us about that.
That was the first time.
Okay.
Well, they're buying me drinks.
Yeah. It was just, no, I don't, but there were three separate instances where apparently I was putting out a vibe and I wasn't aware of that. And I was, you know, I just thought these were really cool guys.
Yeah. It's normal to like massage their back and then, you know, fluff their hair and kiss them on the cheek.
No, but
who would have guessed that would put off a vibe?
The most interesting part was, you know, they said something like, hey, do you want to hang out? I'm like, what do you mean? We are hanging out, you know? And then like, no, do you want to like, you know, and what was really interesting to me is each time, there are three times, they did not take no for an answer. And so I thought that was so weird. And then I'm thinking about, holy cow, that must be what it's like for women when guys won't take no for an answer. That, and then it gets so awkward. Cause they're like, no, thank you. Like, I thought we were friends and now it's just awkward and weird. And
you were going to say something, Virginia or something, Seth. You remember Virginia?
Oh, yeah. No. I meant Miami Beach. We were at Miami Beach and there was a waiter serving us.
Oh my gosh.
At a restaurant. And he was just like, really like, I was like, wow, he's working hard for these tips. And you got really sour towards him. Like you like stopped talking to him,
Andy
stopped
did.
Looking at him. And I was like, what? Yeah, Andy did. And then when he like, he'd left, you made some comment like, oh, he might be gay. Well, he might be getting the wrong idea or something.
Well,
and I was like, oh, that's, you know, I've never had, I just don't have that guard up. Maybe because I just haven't.
He was kind of getting flirty with me, I thought. And so I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't.
Well,
I
of course, you're so hot.
I wasn't mean to him. I just, it put me back like, oh my gosh.
I didn't think it was mean. It was just like, it didn't strike me that he was flirting with you because maybe I just wasn't sensitive to it or not paying attention to it.
Me and Ben have talked about this. We've both had this experience, obviously, like you said. Yeah.
It's so flattering.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. I'm jealous. Like, my self-esteem is down a notch because I don't have gay guys hitting on me. You guys all have it happen. And Joel, too. Joel said that, anyway, so.
Well.
Okay, so that's. Should we move on from Rocket Man?
Yeah.
Wrap it up with Ma?
Yeah. How would you rate Rocket Man? Like, what? Did you enjoy the style?
I had to warm up to it, but yeah. By the end of the movie, I was all in. What did you think?
Yeah, it was. Like, once I realized what it was, I think it was good. Now I feel bad. My wife was telling me, at least was telling me all the stuff. She compared it to two different movies and explained why one was better than the other.
Why isn't she there with you?
Why isn't she on?
We're trying
there?
To get female perspective.
I know.
Yeah.
She was putting the kids to bed. You're right.
Oh, like a good woman should. Yeah. Well, of course.
Please.
That's a woman's job.
I really think she's smart and it would be cool to have her on sometime, Ben.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Okay, so did you remember, Ben?
The two movies she was comparing it to?
So she said, she compared it to the Queen movie. So she did not enjoy this one as much because she thought the Queen movie had a much better element of, was it the music?
Hmm.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't say anything because I don't remember specifically. Like she had a really great explanation and I.
That, well, why don't you have her put it on a phone and we'll put it in?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
let's do
exactly.
That.
Hi everyone. My name is Lisa and I'm Ben's wife and I got asked. I'll say asked, but really more like begged to come on here to give a little insight into one of the movies that Ben and I saw this week. And I'm a little bit nervous to be doing this because I'm a big, big Twim fan. But my thoughts on the movie Rocket Man. I loved the music. It was so fun. I came home and I put a bunch of the songs on a playlist and I've been listening to it. I thought the acting was great. I thought that what's his name? Taron Egerton. Is that how you say it? He did a fantastic job playing Elton John. And there was like also a moment in there for those of you that have kids. So the actor that plays Elton John is also the voice of Johnny in the movie Sing. And there's a scene in the movie where he sings I'm Still Standing as Elton John. And that's also the movie that his character, the animated gorilla, he sings that same song in Sing. So anyway, I thought that part was really cool. My husband didn't even remember that, but like if you're one of the few people that have seen Sing and Rocket Man, maybe you noticed that. The other thing that I thought about Rocket Man was I thought it was a good movie, but like it reminded me of Across the Universe because there are a lot of fantasy elements about it. But I thought Across the Universe was a little bit better. And then it reminded me kind of Bohemian Rhapsody because it was another biopic about a rocker with these songs that you know and love. But I thought that Bohemian Rhapsody was a little bit better too. So I kind of walked away thinking like, oh, it reminded me of a couple other movies that I'd seen, but it wasn't quite as good. But with that all being said, I mean, the music in it's great, the acting in it's great, and the costumes in this movie are fantastic. And I'm really into fashion. So for me, I loved that part too. So anyway, that's my 2 cents for this week.
I was really impressed with Taron Egerton singing. I can't believe he can sing. It was really, really good. I mean, I don't even think it was worse than Elton John singing.
Seth,
you know, obviously.
Was he British?
Yes. He is British. They both are.
Yeah, the music was really good. It was so enjoyable.
Like his singing performance was excellent. His gap tooth was a little distracting for me because I could see how they did it.
Oh, you could?
Did you see how they like put this black like...
No, I didn't know. I noticed the gap and I was wondering if... I was just thinking that can't be real, but I didn't notice...
Yeah, they put like a black line down this front teeth to make it look like a gap, but it was really just like black.
Oh.
And once you spot it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
You know? So that is Rocket Man. The next movie out came in at number 4 over the weekend. Is Ma.
Excuse me, can you buy some booze for my friends and I?
Not interested.
Please?
Heel. Ooh, there's my girl. This never happened, okay?
Thanks again for doing this, ma'am.
You guys want to party like rock stars? Follow me.
Let's get drunk!
The bar is open.
What do you think?
We don't know this chick.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Ma. It's 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. It made $18 million over the weekend, coming in at number 4. This stars Octavia Spencer. I bought a ticket for this, Ben, but when I got to the theater, I'd bought it for the wrong theater because I was traveling. And so,
oh
man, I kept trying to go to it, but it just didn't work out for me. So do you want to give us your review?
Yeah, well, you didn't miss anything. So this is 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that is very generous. The movie it wasn't a horror movie. It was, I mean,
can you please get to the spoiler? I want to know so bad.
The spoiler?
Yeah, like we hypothesized about it last week and I have no idea. What is it like?
Yeah, what was her whole motivation?
What we were speculating was correct. So the preview shows her buying alcohol for some kids. And then she's like, oh, you want a party? Come to my house. And then she like joins them on like their social media things. And then she's showing up at their school. And then the kids come home and she's there talking to the parents. So... in the movie they show when she wasn't going to buy alcohol for these kids, but then she recognized one of the kids in the truck he was in. So she knew the kid's father. And then it turns out she knew a lot of the kid's parents and they had treated her poorly in high school. And so
it was a revenge plot.
Yeah, it was revenge, but it turns out she was a little bit insane, I guess. Cause towards the end, like the kids all block her. They don't want to hang out with her anymore. I don't know if this is a spoiler, but this movie is so dumb. So she's like, oh, come.
It's worth spoiling then.
So she's had this issue in high school of wanting to belong and want to be with cool kids and getting rejected and made fun of. And so that happens. She starts inviting all these kids over to her house and it makes her feel better. But then they start getting weirded out by her and then they stop showing up. And so she's feeling rejected again and she gets angry. And
so it's like repeating college or high school for her.
Yeah. Exactly. It was high school. And towards the end, like she just starts to get, I guess, angry and she Like in the preview, it shows her driving down the street and she just swerves and runs over a jogger.
Oh my gosh.
So that was in the preview.
I didn't remember that from the preview.
And so she had some issues, but then she just snapped and she ran over that jogger because she knew her in high school and she was, you know, affiliated with this guy who treated her mean or whatever. And then the guy who picked on her high school, she ends up killing him. And then, she, you know, at the end, she's almost going to kill all the kids. She like drugged them and tied them up and stuff like that. So it didn't, I don't know. So it wasn't like a horror movie. It was just her dealing with some stuff. Then she decides, oh, I'm just going to kill some people and kill some kids, but like kind of in a not planned way. It was dumb. Like 59%, it was no 59%, it's like 30s. It was so dumb.
30. Was Octavia Spencer, was it at least a good performance?
To me, she just plays the same character.
It
was all okay, right. It was just, you know what I thought was so weird is, you know, on the so I buy movie tickets on an app. And for some movies, they'll have like paraphernalia, like keychains or hats that are branded that you can buy about the movie. And so the app gave me a bunch of pop-ups for this movie, like branded keychain that says Ma. And, you know, the letters are like, it's almost like it's written in blood.
Yeah.
And so after the movie, I saw that pop-up. I thought, no one's going to buy that. That is so dumb.
No. Okay. Well, that is Ma. Next week, we're going to cover Men in Black International and Shaft. Those are the new movies coming out next week. Thanks for listening to the podcast. The things you can do to help us are subscribe and review us on iTunes. We will not be doing a spoiler section this week.
On a side note, I need some advice on dating that me and Michael have had on this trip. We'll get to it.
Okay.
But I need some honest advice.
Is it about the King of Monsters?
No, just dating and like the idea of like, what's the right level of confidence and not creepiness? Do you ask for we'll get to it after we get.
Okay.
Andy, I think everything you need to know about dating, you can learn from watching episodes of Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, I'll give you this. I was at Costco and this girl had to be hot because she was wearing a hairnet and she was still hot. She was serving pizza.
Okay.
She was serving pizza and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I start talking to her, thinking of anything I could say. I look at her name tag, 2018. I'm like, oh, do you like your job? Yeah, I like my job. And she was like, do you like your job? I'm like, yeah, I do like my job. And she's like, what do you do? And Michael was like, he was like, if you hadn't done something, I was going to get her number for you because she just wants you so bad. So
okay.
I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And this is the question that's coming up. I said, hey, are you married? And she's like, no. And like, hey, can I give you my number? And so I gave her my number. And the girl, this old lady's like, it's so easy these days. And so I was thinking, she was watching it and like, she loved it. She's like, do you want my number too?
So wait, you gave her your number. You didn't get her number?
That's the thing, because this is where the question comes. We were at two public establishments with people in line, and I didn't want to put her in an awkward situation, and I just thought, okay, can I leave you my number? And so the next time it happened yesterday, we walk into this bakery, and I was absolutely smitten. And this girl thought me and Michael are 15 years apart, and she asked if we were twins.
So he just looks really old for his age, right?
Yeah. But like, literally, I am in love. And like, we were talking and she dropped some hints like, oh, I'll be off at 2 during the week. And so I wrote down my number. But the problem was, is that I put it in between two girls that we were both talking to. So I don't know who took it.
Oh, and my goodness.
And she never called back. So our premise is
Do they ever call? I don't think they would call.
That's the premise we're wondering. We're wondering if it's the approach is wrong. Do you have to ask for their number?
I would. Well, I've heard girls complain about that.
The way you did it, Andy, is giving the girl the control. And in a way, it's really generous and courteous, you know, because then if she's not interested, she can just say, sure, I'll take your number and just throw it away.
Yeah.
It maybe though, if it jeopardizes your chance to follow through with her, well, because she maybe won't call.
Well,
also, Andy, you have to keep in mind if I think women have a lot of options and you just added a barrier to, what do you call it, barrier to entry, or you just gave her a hurdle to jump over. And there may be other guys that make it easy for her to go out with them or meet up with them. Everything's different.
I think you're right. We've been strategizing. We took one day off today. We're going back to the bakery tomorrow.
Oh, this is like a... like a whole plan.
You should start a reality show.
Okay, let's move on.
But you so, Andy, let me just tell you, because I lived in Idaho for, I don't know, a year. And so these Midwestern states with low populations, like Wyoming, they cast a spell on you where you think very plain-looking women are actually beautiful. And you snap out of it once you get to a big city. But when you're in these remote locations, you start looking at like telephone poles and frogs and
you're
stuff.
In Wyoming.
Now they're very sexually attractive.
I understand why you liked your girlfriend from Idaho.
I got engaged to a girl in Idaho. I brought her back to Salt Lake to show to my family, introduced everybody.
And grandmas everybody were looking pretty.
Yeah. And then I was like, wait, what happened to me? I didn't realize this whole world out here. I was in my little bubble in Idaho. I thought this was like the best you could do.
You started looking at grandmas when you were with her. No, but the truth is, she's from Laramie, and she is probably one of the most attractive women I have ever seen.
Okay, but
and bubbly and kind,
but
and cute.
But that's why you date, because way more important than that is chemistry.
I can tell in about 30 seconds.
Oh, I know. I've fallen in love that fast too. I've fallen in love, and then they start talking. I'm like, oh no, never mind. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Moving on to the next movie.
But wait,
Rocket Man.
You didn't answer the question, Seth. Give your number, or just like to hell with who's behind me. I'm gonna get your number. What's your number? You know, which is better?
No, not to hell. But okay, so you were under a time.
Well, just people. There's a crowd.
Like, right. You didn't want to disrupt her job.
Do you just ask for it, or anyway? Okay, move on. There's no answer. It's unknowable.
It's unknowable. Andrew, there is a secret combination in here somewhere. Like it's a trick, and you can like get him every time.
I think the best thing to do, Andy, is just wait outside of Costco until it closes, and then follow her home with their headlights off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then stage an accident where she accidentally runs into you because you're sneaking in her driveway.
Oh my goodness!
And then get her involved in this lawsuit, and then she has to give you her contract.
That's a good idea.
And her insurance.
Okay.